Mini episode 77 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs consulting and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, everybody. Rick Morris, Mike Petak here with you. It's FDH Lounge, mini episode 77, bringing you our preview for the year for NASCAR for 2012, as well as our mock draft. So it's sort of a hybrid here in looking at this. But Mike Petak, of course, our NASCAR and motorsports chief correspondent with FDH. But Mike, in this fantasy game, and really with anything with motorsports, I mean, there's pretty much no difference between talking fantasy and between talking the regular races, right? And it's all based on placement and finishes.
Absolutely, same thing.
Yeah, so we actually can do a little bit of a hybrid here. Me and you are picking in that order. We got six of us here that are picking, and you and I are actually picking first and second.
Thank you for taking my bribe. I mean, how did that happen?
Yeah, well, I could lie and say that we had a big six accounting firm here that was auditing the process, but that would be a lie.
It would be Three Stooges is more like it.
Yeah, exactly. It goes in this order. Mike Petak, Rick Morris, third pick, the FDH New York Bureau, Steve Cervillo, pick four, Jason Jones, our senior editor, pick five. Our entertainment editor, Samantha Jones, wonder how she did last year, considering that picking at the end of the first round, her two picks were Tony Stewart and Carl Edwards. I think that tells you everything you need to know about how she did. So she's picking fifth this year, and welcoming into the process here this year, Raymond Smalley, good friend from DOU Productions, fellow member of the 21st Century Media Alliance. So he joins us as one of the drafters. You and I are the only ones here that are doing this live. We got the other four that are off of lists. I have certain instructions that I'm going off of, and I will be adhering to those instructions as we go along. So you and I will be kind of making the picks here as we go, and I should be able to make instantaneous picks here for these other fellows based on how we go. But again, you are on the clock, Mike. You have pick number one for our NASCAR mock draft for 2012. The chalk on the board says Carl Edwards, and he was number one on our UQB system last year, which measures out how drivers did on the different tracks. Are you going chalk here to start this off, or are you going with the man who's been the man in this era, Jimmy Johnson, or even the defending champion, Tony Stewart?
You know, this is the one time I don't want to have the number one pick.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being, okay, yeah, if he falls to me, great, I'll take him.
Yeah.
In other words, otherwise, you know, okay, yeah, great, the pressure's on. Do I take five time?
You could.
I could.
Yeah.
But I won't.
Okay.
I look at the magical Morris board.
Yeah.
And with my own thinking, Carl Edwards.
Well, you look at the progression of the last 3 years from 11th to 4th to 2nd. There's only one way to keep that going, Mike.
And that would be straight to number one.
That would be, yes. And again, he was number one on the UQB last year. Regrettably, they don't give you the big trophy at the end of the year for finishing first on the FDH UQB system. But for our purposes in grading drivers, he was number one. And that takes into account how you did on the different tracks and the weights thereof. Sixth on the two road courses last year, he had an average placement of sixth. Averaging fourth on the four super speedways, averaging second on the six short tracks, averaging second on the six restrictor plate races, but here's what puts him up there, averaging first on the 24 intermediate races last year. I'm like, that's two-thirds of the races right there, and he averaged a first-place finish in those two-thirds of the races. Nobody races stronger on the dominant track type.
Absolutely, Carl Edwards, very, very, those numbers just are so incredibly consistent. And with numbers like that, you'd think it would be a lock.
Yeah.
This is easy. Carl Edwards. Believe me, you have Jimmy Johnson, five-time. You have the defending champ, Tony Stewart. You know, this was a very difficult decision.
Yeah. I mean, how many drivers are able to do that? How many of them are able to be that consistent across the track type? No lower than sixth if you take into account the two road courses. If you throw that out, no lower than fourth average finish track type. Carl Edwards did it all last year. I have the second pick. And looking at this, I am going to go five-time.
You're drafting Booker T?
I am indeed, yes. I'm welcoming King Booker to my team, which I know is going to win. Jason Jones is going to want to throw something at his screen as he's hearing this. Because I remember from the old SNS days how much he used to loathe King Booker. Jason always had a touch of the Mark Markerson in him as a wrestling fan, no question about that. But no, Jimmy Johnson is the pick. Falling to sixth last year after the five consecutive first-place finishes. 144 on the UQB last year. That placed him in a tie for third. He was fifth on the intermediates last year. And not so great on the other ones. Ninth on restrictors, ninth on short tracks, 15 on the super speedways, 10 on the two road courses. Not a typical Jimmy Johnson year, not a typical Jimmy Johnson October and November. For the way that he finished up, but I'm going to take him and look for a comeback here. What do you see out of JJ for 2012, Mike?
You know, Mr. Consistency, but there are three letters that really haunted Jimmy Johnson last year that you never heard with his name before.
What?
DNF.
Yeah. And he has to make sure that that doesn't happen again and doesn't become attached to him.
Absolutely.
Again, third pick, Steve Cervillo, the FDH New York Bureau. My instructions are to take for him the defending champion, Tony Stewart. He placed second on the UQB with 193 last year. He did not place in the top 20 average finish on the road tracks. But how about this on the other one? Second on supers, first on shorts, first on restrictor plates, and second on intermediates. If you throw out the two road track races last year, out of the other 34 races, he averaged a first or second place finish in each category. That is almost unheard of.
Again, you know, and that's your third pick.
Yeah.
That's your third pick. I mean, that is just really, really amazing, you know, that these three, the number that these three guys have put up.
Yeah. Been truly remarkable. To see what they have done. And Stewart, and here's the interesting thing, too. For a guy that had done, I understand, a little bit of, who at least dabbled, I think, with a little bit of open wheel back in the day, not in the top 20 on the road courses. That's kind of interesting.
Very surprising. I really, but, you know, being an owner and a driver of a team, I mean, that man really had a lot on his plate. And those numbers just are crazy when you think, not only as a driver, but as an owner, what you have to do.
Yeah.
On the day-to-day operations, you know, those numbers are just amazing.
I was reviewing our segment that we did just like this from last year, Mike, and I remember you making that point in real time as we were doing this a year ago about Tony Stewart, all the burdens that he was going to have, and it makes the year that he had that much more incredible. Fourth pick, Jason Jones in this spot here, our senior editor, finally breaking the chalk here somewhat. Going with Kyle Busch, a man who didn't score as well on the UQB last year, and a tie for 13th with 86. That's because he only placed in the top 20 on two different track types, fifth on the two road courses, and an average eighth place finish on the 24 intermediate tracks from last year. Finishing 12th, so making the chase, but not doing anything with it, really. Eighth the year before that, 13th the year before that. So to take him fourth here, It appears to be a real hope that this is the year that the talent is going to manifest itself. He has the talent to be the best driver in the world to go out there and do it. Can he put it together for a year, Mike, keep his temper under control and just let everything work for him?
Absolutely. The mental problem has always been, you know, Kyle Busch's problem. I believe he was suspended for a race last year. So it's just, boy, you know, if this guy can just put the mental game together, put all his personal problems and the track problems aside, he's got all the talent in the world, and he should be up there with a Carl Edwards, a Jimmy Johnson, and a Tony Stewart. This shouldn't be a reach pick, but the mental game has always been what's been Kyle Busch's big question.
Yeah, been his own worst enemy a lot of the time. Fifth pick, Samantha Jones, our entertainment editor. This makes me smile because I know she's sneaking our number six guy here. She's taking Jeff Gordon with the pick. He's number four on our board, so we sort of revert to the chalk here for a second. 144 last year, tied for third place on the UQB system, our FDH ratings, and it's easy to see why when you talk consistency. Again, another guy that averaged a top 10 average finish on each of the track types last year. Ninth on the intermediates, fourth on the restrictor plates, fourth on the short tracks, eighth on the super speedways, sixth on the road courses. Jeff Gordon, more than anybody else, I mean, there are some that are looking at him and saying, okay, maybe he's starting to get to that point where he's starting to get up there a little bit. But when you're looking at the point where, I mean, he's a guy who's clearly not on the back nine of his career in the way that a Jeff Burton or a Mark Martin is, and he's got the experience over some of these other guys here. Jeff Gordon is one of the guys probably closest to that sweet spot in terms of having been at it long enough to get all the knowledge and experience and everything like that while still retaining enough of the physical skills, it seems like, Mike.
Absolutely. Jeff Gordon really takes care of himself, you know, and he was one of the first ones who always really started hitting the gym and trying to keep in shape for these long races, you know, in the middle of summer when it's 200 degrees in a car. Let me tell a quick story. You know, I love going to Vegas, and my dad and I did the Richard Petty experience.
Mm-hmm.
We did three laps around Las Vegas Speedway in April. It was 80 degrees out there.
Okay.
We were in fire suits. Inside that car was over 100 degrees. We did three laps, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If there was another lap involved, you would have found out what I had for dinner.
Wow.
Okay, it is hot, and, you know, the banking, it's just incredible. Jeff is always taking care of himself, and when you have Hendrick behind you, you know, that's... Age is really not going to affect Jeff Gordon, because I think when Jeff Gordon wants to quit, Jeff Gordon's going to quit. I think he's still got the tank is more than half full, in my opinion.
And on your point about what you had for dinner, my guess is the contents of the Mirage Buffet would have manifested themselves on the windshield. Am I correct?
Easily.
Yes. All right, we know that much. Jeff Gordon is an incredible physical specimen, and he's going to need that as he gets into his 40s. No question about that. Sixth pick here, Raymond Smalley, our friend from DOU Productions, fellow member of the 21st Century Media Alliance. He is going to go with Kevin Harvick for the end of the first round pick here, and for the beginning of the second round pick, making the turn in this standard Serpentine five-round draft, he's going with Matt Kenseth. So real chalk there as you look at these guys. Harvick sixth on the board, but seventh on our UQB rankings last year. Kenseth seventh on the board, but sixth on the UQB rankings last year. Most importantly, as you look at these guys, and Harvick, by the way, third in the final rankings last year. Kenseth fourth in the standings. But probably the biggest reason for that, we talked about the strength of the intermediate tracks. The fact that they account for two-thirds of the tracks in NASCAR, two-thirds of the races are held on them. Harvick fourth on that last year. Kenseth an average third-place finish on those last year. It's the strength on that track type that probably gives you a lot of hope for bang for the buck, I would think, Mike, here, end of the first round, beginning of the second.
Absolutely. Two really nice picks, you know. He's got to feel really lucky that they're available. And Harvick is just one heck of a closer.
He is.
And, you know, that's been his calling card, is he's been able to close and finish out races, catch people in the last couple of laps. You know, working with Childress Racing, you know, there is a big thing next year. Is he going to re-sign with Childress? Is he, you know, rumors were that he wanted to start his own team. You know, he sold his, I want to call it the Busch Series.
Uh-huh.
But he sold that team.
What, Nationwide?
The Nationwide, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Brain cramp. It's been Busch and Winston Cup for all my whole life, basically.
Say, you're the guy that actually watches this, and I'm the guy that had to come up with that. That's hilarious.
But I'm old school. I'm old school. It'll still be Winston Cup and Busch to me, you know, whole life. So, you know, that was something, that, you know, and he just signed a contract. And, you know, if he won the championship, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Anybody in this first round that had been taken could very easily win the championship.
Exactly. Well, when you talk about smoothness and consistency, the second of the two picks here, Matt Kenseth, some have said over the years that he embodies that to a fault, perhaps. Let's remember that it was his, let's be kind and say, workmanlike run to the 2003 title that ended up birthing the chase in the first place.
Yeah, very true. You know, let me get the top fives, top twos. You know, I'm not going to push it so I get the DNFs.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's very strong on finishing, no question about that. The next pick here, Samantha Jones, with the second pick of the second round, takes the final individual on our first tier of drivers on the FDH draft board, that being Denny Hamlin. He was last year 11th on our UQB system at 96. Again, somebody who did well on a number of different track types, was not in the top 20 on road tracks, but ninth place on short and super speedways and restrictors, and 13th place on the intermediates last year. So Hamlin's another guy that is good across a wide range of things, and he looks to be the guy who pretty much closes out this tier, I think, Mike.
Absolutely. Another, you know, he was the guy that they thought was going to, you know, break the streak of Jimmy Johnson. Mm-hmm. It was always, you know, is Hamlin that guy? You know, a few more years experience under his belt, you know, maybe he could be that guy that takes it to the next level and could be the next champion. Another, you know, like you said, there's seven or eight guys that easily can win the championship, and, you know, that's good for NASCAR.
Well, and for anybody that's a little bit cynical about you and I ending up with the top two picks in this thing here, I think when you look at it, we are perhaps in a way disadvantaged by that, because I think if I had my druthers, I mean, yeah, I got, you know, it's hard for me to whine. I got Jimmy Johnson, and yeah, you got Carl Edwards, but we're not going to have two guys on this commonly recognized top tier of drivers.
No, absolutely not. That's when, you know, when the ping pong balls flew where they may, I was, you know, like I said, I didn't want to have the first pick this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it sounds weird to say, but, you know, it's not a great year for it. Hamlin, by the way, when you look at consistency, one of the drivers, one of just a handful of drivers in the chase the last 3 years. Our draft board lists that in the last 3 years, and you'll notice when you see it in Fantasy Draftology 2012, we have it shaded in here just so it catches your eye a little bit easier when a driver made the chase. Fifth place in 2009, second place in 2010, tied for ninth last year. So Hamlin is a guy who has a lot of consistency. The next pick here, Jason Jones, our senior editor, and going off of his list, he is dropping down here a little bit. For a draft that's been pretty chalk-heavy, this is where we start to go outside of that a little bit. He's going for a guy who was in the chase two of the last 3 years, tied for ninth last year with Hamlin, ninth in 2009, the donut hole being 15th place in the standings in 2010. He was 12th last year on our UQB with 92 points, paced largely by an average finish of 6th place on the intermediate tracks. I speak, of course, of Ryan Newman. So he's dropping down a couple of spots here, Jason, is to make that pick, Mike.
In my opinion, kind of a reach, but you really can't argue with this, with the success. You know, Ryan Newman, you know, he was a big pole guy. Always, he wins a lot of poles starting up front. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he's working with Tony Stewart. And, you know, they got the Hendrick power behind them, mm-hmm. you know, based on those two issues. Is it a reach? I think so, a little bit, but, you know, you can't go wrong.
No, I think you can't go wrong either with that pick. Looking at the next one here, very interesting, the pick right before me, the FDH New York Bureau, our senior producer, Steve Cervillo, going with Kasey Kahne. A real anomaly here when you look at the fact that, again, we have him 10th on our draft board. He's 9th on the experts draft board that we use, that we kind of consult as a guideline to see where we agree and where we differ. But last year, 14th place, he didn't make the chase. 20th place in 2010, 10th place in 2009, so he made the chase that year. What's very interesting is, for a guy who didn't make the chase last year, he finished in fifth place on our UQB system of driver rankings with 138 points. Now, a lot of that is based on how you do on the different track types. Not in the top 20 on the road courses for average finish, but that's only two races. It gets a lot better from there. 12th on the super speedways, 6th on the short tracks, 6th on the restrictor plate, 7th on the intermediate race tracks. And as we said, that accounts for two-thirds of the races out there. So the guy had a much, much better year statistically than the final numbers in the chase will ever tell you, Mike.
Absolutely, and he's moving over to the Team Hendrick, and, you know, you might as well be playing for the Yankees when you're talking about Hendrick.
So he's putting on the pinstripes this year.
Absolutely.
Okay. And, yeah, that's what a driver of his ability certainly can benefit from, a real next-level kind of guy. That's why we're picking him to make the chase on our draft board. Another guy that we are, and he's falling to me here, there seems to be a little bit of skepticism among some of the other owners here about a guy who really burst onto the scene last year. 38th place in the rankings in 2009, 25th place in 2010, took a much bigger jump from 2010 to 2011 than anybody would have thought possible. Fifth place last year, only finished with 63 points on our UQB system. He was in 18th place last year on that. That was paced by the fact that he only really did that strong with a third-place average finish on the road courses and 12th-place average finish on the intermediate tracks. Brad Keselowski, a lot of skepticism apparently among the owners ahead of me as to whether or not he can sustain, but I know from talking to you off-air, Mike, that you're very impressed once again by the team he's going to have behind him in 2012.
Absolutely. Team Penske, Brad Keselowski. I know I drafted him last year. Last year really was his first chance for a full-time ride in the Sprint Cup. And, you know, he showed what he can do. And now with Kurt Busch leaving Penske, he's going to be that number one driver. And, I see good things for Brad Keselowski this year.
I'm certainly hopeful that that's the case since I have him. You are making the end of the second-round pick, beginning of the third-round pick. While you're contemplating on that, while you're cogitating, I'll do a quick recap here. First round in this order, Carl Edwards, Jimmy Johnson, Tony Stewart, Kyle Busch, Jeff Gordon, Kevin Harvick. Round two, Matt Kenseth, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Newman, Casey Kane, Brad Keselowski. That brings it back over to you.
Well, with my first pick, I think I'm going to take the Biff.
Okay.
Greg Biffle.
Going for the Biff. 84 points last year on our UQB system. That put him in 15th place. Highlights for him where he ran strongest. 7th place average finish on both the restrictor plate and short track formats. What impresses you about him here at the end of the second round? What makes you think he's the best value for you?
I just believe, you know, looking at the Roush Fenway team, he's got a lot of, he can work with his teammates, and, you know, you got Carl Edwards, you know, who I drafted, you know, with the number one pick overall. Mm-hmm. Matt Kenseth is up there. I think he's got a great team behind him. He's a very, you know, I'd say he's a consistent driver, and I think he's, you know, by far the best available driver out there.
Okay, very interesting. Who are you going with for your second pick? I know that as I'm looking at this, I know that you love you some Lil Lee. You always have, you always will.
Now, there he is. He's staring at me.
He is. And again, and you know, the draft board that I put together, I never finalize the thing till I run it by you. And I move guys up and I move guys down based on what you tell me. You didn't tell me to move Lil Lee over the one guy ahead of him who still hasn't been picked. So I don't know whether I should read anything into that right now as you sit here and presumably make a choice between those two.
And I am.
Okay.
And I am a huge Lil Lee fan.
Okay.
But what you learn in fantasy sports is you don't pick with your heart, you pick with your brain.
Okay.
So that being said, Michael Waltrip Racing and Clint Bowyer.
Clint Bowyer. Okay, very interesting. Just to drain all the suspense out of it, I always go for the highest pick on the board left, so that means I'll be going Lil Lee in a minute here, so we can talk about that. But they were very close in the UQB last year. Bowyer was in 8th place at 103 points. Earnhardt was 9th place at 102. So on our FDH scoring system, they were very close. Not so much in terms of the actual finish. Earnhardt made the chase and finished in 7th place. Bowyer finished in 13th place last year, so that at least put him as the highest non-chase qualifier. 10th place the year before that. He did make the chase. 15th the year before that. And again, he runs strong in all the different track types here. A little bit ominously, perhaps, the least of which, as far as strength, was the intermediates last year with a 13th place average finish, but 11th on restrictor plates, 11th place short tracks, 4th place super speedways, 6th place road tracks. The thing you got going with you with Bowyer is he's got a chance to race strong for you in any format looking at those numbers.
Yeah, very strong, very, you know. He's consistent for where he is. I think he's a very underrated driver.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, we have one of those breakout years. And, you know, he moved over to Michael Waltrip Racing. He took over, I believe, David Rudiman's spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think with Team Red Bull going by the wayside, you're going to see, you know, Toyota's put a lot more of their money behind Michael Waltrip Racing, and I think it's going to show.
Yeah, I think that's the case also. I look for a strong year out of Bowyer. at the second pick of the third round. That leaves me, as I said, Lil Lee. I'm going to take him as he falls to me here. And, again, seventh place finish for him last year. He made the chase 21st in 2010, 25th in 2009. So apparently putting some of those demons behind him. Ninth place last year in the on the intermediate races. That was his average finish. That is a real mark of strength here. Only 14th on place average finish on the restrictor plate tracks, with which it's a type that he's become synonymous with in many people's minds. So if he merely races as strong on the intermediates and bumps it up a little bit on the 1/6 of the races that take place on the intermediate, the restrictor plate tracks, that in and of itself could maybe catapult him back into the chase.
Absolutely. But when you're talking the name Earnhardt,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking the name Hendrick Motorsports,
yeah,
and you're not running in the top five, top ten,
mm-hmm.
people are going to begin to question. And, you know, the whispers are going around. And, you know, as much as I am a huge Little Lee fan, and you can tell. You know,
yeah.
Did I want to take him? Absolutely. But, you know, I drafted with my brain, not with my heart, and I just don't feel, you know, I think there's so much pressure on this guy, and there's no way he's going to be able to live up to it, and, you know, he is where he should be.
Yeah, I think so, in many people's minds. And in the minds of many, there are 15 drivers that have a real strong chance to make the chase this year. We're coming up to the 15th one. He is going to get picked by Steve Cervillo off of his list with the next pick here. When you look at this, Kurt Busch is somebody that people are thinking that his change of circumstances may be very adverse for him this year. That's the only way to even suggest why he might be 20th on the experts' draft board coming into this year. He's made the chase all three of the last all the last 3 years, 11th, 11th, and 4th, the 3 years back in that order. Placing in the top 20 on all different track types last year, 11th on intermediates, which again is the most important, 15th on restrictor plates, 16th on short tracks, 14th on super speedways, and 16th on road tracks. So again, the only way to even account for him being this low, Mike, is everybody going, uh-oh, you know, this change of circumstance here and the new fellows that he's racing for and racing with might work against him.
Absolutely, I guess. This will be one of the ways, you know, people have always wondered, is it the driver or is it the car? This year, I think with Kurt Busch, we may get a good barometer on what that is, because it's an unanswerable question. Right now, you have a guy, if he was on any of the big four teams, will be easily a top 5 to 10 pick. And because he is racing with a lesser team, He's a question mark.
Yeah.
So to me, this is going to go a long way into saying, okay, what is it, the driver or is it the car or is it both?
Yeah, real chicken and the egg type question here, and we're going to get some answers, and I think we're going to get some answers early. 15 picks done here. This is the symbolic reaching of the back nine of the draft, because again, that's the end of the second tier on our draft board. So right at the exact halfway point, this is where things start to get a little bit iffier. So while you and I were complaining about not getting two guys off of the first tier, at least we got three guys off the second tier, and that's what the other picks 4, 5, and 6 can't say at this point, Mike.
That's true, and it all comes to, you know, who's going to make the chase, and that's where your bread's going to get buttered.
Yeah, if you don't make the chase, you're going to do a lot worse, and that is a big understatement. Next pick goes to Jason, fourth pick of the third round. He's going to go for Martin Truex Jr. Based on his list here, and a relatively safe pick at this point. 18, 22, and 23, his finishes in the last couple of years. He did finish, he did have a top 20 placement in all five of the different track types last year, not doing very strongly in any of them except for the road courses, where he was third. Of course, there's only two road races, but so Truex, I mean, there's some good and some bad here in looking at this consistency, but maybe the ceiling isn't so high.
Right, but again, just a really, really a safe pick.
It does, and that counts for a lot at this point.
Especially at this point in the draft.
The next pick here, Not so much, but when you've had the success in fantasy on NASCAR that she has, you have to give a little bit of leeway to somebody. As Jason's bride, our entertainment editor, Samantha Jones, goes with Juan Pablo Montoya for the next pick here, jumping down what's actually another tier on the draft board. But again, in terms of finishes the last couple of years, 21st last year, but 17th the year before that, 8th in 2009. Not a good trend line. But he's a guy who shouldn't go at least a whole lot lower, it would seem like, than where he gets picked here.
Yeah, I think, yeah, he can go really. If he goes much lower, I think it would be rather shocking. I think he still has some room to grow. I still think he's learning this type of racing. So we'll see where it goes. It's kind of a – I like the pick. It's a high risk, high reward.
Well, speaking of that and speaking of guys coming in from the open wheel – world and having to adjust. Raymond Smalley, the last pick of the third round before he makes his first pick of the fourth round. A.J. Allmendinger, somebody who does seem to be growing a little bit in his role in NASCAR. 15th place last year, improving on 19th from 2010 and 24th from 2009. It's a good trend line. He did place top 20 average finish in all five of the different track types last year, albeit intermediates. He was only 17th, but 8th on restrictors, 8 on short tracks also, 7th on super speedways, and 11th on road courses. A.J. Allmendinger, is this the sign that he's finally putting it together? And even if he doesn't become a top-tier guy in NASCAR, it at least is approaching a ceiling slightly below that?
I think so, and, you know, obviously, Roger Penske saw something in him and he signed him to take Kurt Busch's ride.
Yeah,
so
that's got to count for something. His second pick, Paul Menard, the thing that jumps out at you the most, again, trend line, pretty good. 31st in 09, 23rd in the standings in 2010, 17th last year. And when you look at how he did on the different track types here, not in the top 20 on road courses, only 16th on intermediates, but 5th place average finish on the restrictor plate tracks, 5th place average finish on the short tracks, and 1st place average finish on the 4 super speedway tracks last year. So Menard is a guy that has some interesting things going his way.
Absolutely. That's a nice pick. You know, this late in the race, if you get somebody who is number one in a particular category this late in the draft, you've done well. You've done your homework.
Yeah, I agree with that. The next guy up here, again, Samantha rolling the dice in a fairly chalk-tastic draft. Samantha Jones, our entertainment editor, has been the exception to that.
She's taking Danica Patrick, I hear.
No. There's no gender solidarity here, but still another one. Joey Logano with this pick, and it's very interesting. This is a young man who, again, 24th last year, regressing from 16th in 2010, 20th in 2009, so not going the right direction on the trend line. Here's the biggest reason for that, at least statistically. Was not in the top 20 average finish on the intermediate tracks last year, which are the most important. Of course, as we said, it's two-thirds of the races. But pretty good in the other ones, though. Third in the restrictor plates, third in the short track, sixth in the super speedways, and second on the road courses. But unfortunately for Joey Logano, the donut hole that he's got to fill in is the biggest one of all, the two-thirds of the races that are on the intermediate tracks.
Yeah, a few years ago that was Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s biggest problem was intermediate tracks and trying to figure those out.
Mm-hmm.
Right now that's what Joey Logano's trying to do. He's trying to figure out those intermediate tracks. You know, he came in to replace Tony Stewart. It just doesn't get very much more high pressure than that. And, you know, he hasn't fulfilled everyone's expectations.
That's kind of a common thread with guys that we're going to see at this point here, because I'm noticing that a lot of them haven't done very well on the intermediate tracks. A lot of them seem to be niche guys, like the next one that gets drafted. Jason Jones, our senior editor, going off of his list. The next pickup for him is Jeff Burton. Finished 20th last year in the standings, 12th in 2010. He did make the chase that year, 17th in 2009. Again, he was not in the top 20 on the intermediate tracks last year, but 14th on both the restrictors and the short tracks, 17th on the super speedways, 14th on the road courses. But Jeff Burton's another one of these guys here where you got to get better if you're him on the course format that accounts for two-thirds of the total races.
Absolutely. But, and, you know, a safe bet. Jeff is, you know, he may give you some top fives and you know, some top tens. You know, he's a wily veteran, and you know, he will find his way, whether it's gas mileage or finding that right drafting partner. You know, he's not going to give you, you know, top fives, top tens every week, but, you know, he'll get you those occasional, you know, top fives or top tens.
Another up-and-coming guy here, young Mr. Ambrose, is going to be the next pick here for Steve Cervillo. This is a guy where it's the exception to the rule of the guys we're talking about at this point. He did finish 18th last year in the intermediate track, so he was top 20 average finish there. 19th overall. It's not surprising that his placement in the standings tracked very closely to his placement on the intermediate tracks. 26th in 2010, 18th in 2009. He was also first on the road courses last year. So again, he that only accounts for 2 out of 36 races. But any time that you can be first in a category, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Absolutely, especially, like I said, this late in the draft, you're looking for that, even if it is just for 2 races.
Yeah, and that is really going to be helpful in knowing that you can count on that for the 2 races that come up. Next comes to me. I'm going to go with Jamie McMurray. Real fall off last year, 27th place, 14th in 2010, 22nd in 2009. The only place where he did strong was, again, road tracks, and strong in a relative sense, 15th last year, 15th place average finish. McMurray is a guy with a pretty decent track record if we're going back in time, particularly for where he's being picked now, but not much in the recent history to recommend him, regrettably.
No, you know, Ganassi, Earnhardt, you know, it's a step or two below the elite teams. You know, he had a couple of good races, but nothing to really, you know, sneeze at. It's just, you know, the guy has potential. And, you know, again, he's being drafted down here for a reason. And, you know, at this juncture in the race, you know, he has won some races. You know, he has won some restrictor plates in the past. And, you know, at this juncture, that's what you're hoping for. You just hang your hat on that in the past he's won a couple of restrictor plate races, and maybe he'll be able to get you a win.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to look at here. I mean, we're at the point now where there are massive trade-offs with everybody, because you're looking at guys left here. I mean, some of the racers left, maybe the majority of them, you can't swear on a stack of Bibles they're going to be racing all 36 times out there. So we're really now having to just, you know, scrape the barrel, as it were, at this point. You've got the 2 picks here as we make the final turn, end of the 4th round, beginning of the 5th round.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go young here, and I'm going to go for Mark Martin.
Okay.
switched over to Hendrick, the elite, to Michael Waltrip Racing. Michael Waltrip is really trying to put something together there with Toyota. You know, Mark Martin, you know, not what he once was about 5 or 10 years ago, but he's still very consistent.
Yeah, and you have to look at that, and again, he's somebody who on any given week really can get it done. Top 20 in 4 different categories, albeit he was actually 20th right on the nose, average place finish in 3 of those, including intermediate tracks there. So, again, by the way, the one that he did the best on the super speedways, he had an average finish of 11th on those last year. So, all right, he's going to be your first one. Who are you looking at for your final pick?
David Reagan.
Okay. It's funny. We have him 25th on the board, Mike. 23rd last year, 24th in 2010, 27th. In 2009.
You Mr. pretty consistency.
Yeah, you know what you're going to get, and that at least says something at the beginning of the last round.
Yeah, but that was with Roush Fenway Racing. You know, I think he's with Front Row Motorsports right now, and, you know, you're going from, I don't want to sound disrespectful, but you're going from the penthouse basically to the yacht house.
Yeah, and again, that is...
And that's no disrespect to Front Row Motorsports, you know. Reagan Smith had some great finishes last year, but when you're going from Roush Fenway, you know in North Carolina, everything top of the line, to Denver, Colorado, where they're located at, kind of away from it all, it's going to be tough. He's really going to have to up his game.
I thought you were going to be channeling Bill Parcells for a second there. No disrespect to the Orientals. I thought that's where you were going. As soon as you said no disrespect, I thought that was going to be the next thing out of your pie hole. Okay.
sorry, Reggie.
All right. Well, up for me, the next one we talk about here, trade-offs at this point. Gilliland is going to be my last pick. 30th last year, 32nd in 2010, 37th in 2009. So slowly trending in the right direction here. As far as decent finishes last year, average finish of 16th on a restrictor plate track, 17th on the short tracks, 3rd on the super speedways. So for at least 4 races a year, I know I got a chance to have a top 10 guy.
Yeah, he was a guy that people liked running with last year at Daytona.
Yeah.
So he was working with Tony Stewart real well, and, you know, things happen beyond his control, you know. And when you're talking restrictor plates, you know, anything can happen. It's every man for himself coming around that last turn. But, yeah, he was very consistent. People liked running with him. So that says a lot about the type of driver.
Yeah. Yeah, he is very strong in that. You talk about restrictor plate tracks last year. Who did better in a more memorable sense, a more out-of-nowhere sense, than Trevor Bayne, who is going to be the next pick here off of the list for Steve Cervillo, his final pick of the night. The shock of the year when the young rookie without a full-time big league ride ends up winning at Daytona. A great future in front of him. Future that, in terms of fantasy extreme upside, isn't probably going to, you know, kick off for another year or two or maybe three yet. But for the last round at this point, he's certainly proven that he can do it on the proverbial any given Sunday.
Absolutely, driving for the Wood Brothers in the famous number 21 car. How long is he there for with the Wood Brothers? You know, he's a very, very hot commodity right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the extra races he got because he won the Daytona 500 – did absolutely nothing but help him. So
yeah,
he's got you always talk to me about I love upside.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a young man with a tremendous upside.
Conversely, the next pick here, I hate to phrase it that way, Jason, but our senior editor Jason Jones, not exactly going for extreme upside here, but going for consistency. Bobby Labonte with his final pick of the night, 29th in 2011, 31st in 2010. 30th in 2009. My rudimentary grasp of math tells me that averages out to an even 30th over the last couple of years here. So you at least know what you're going to get from this guy, or so it would appear.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, here's a guy.
that should be the name of his team. It is what it is racing with Bobby Labonte.
Or you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Ish.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, so life is not a box of chocolates when it comes to his team, right? I mean, you pretty much, or if it is, it's the chocolates with the roadmap in the box, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you know what you're getting. Okay, the penultimate pick in the draft here, Samantha is going for David Reutemann, who slipped to 28th last year, but he was 18th in 2010, 16th in 2009. As it appears, mid-teens upside, and that's something that it could be pretty valuable in the last round.
Yeah, it's a safe pick, and he's don't think he's got a full-time ride,
mm-hmm.
but he will be racing, hopefully, I believe, in at least two-thirds of the races.
Okay. Last one here in the draft, the Mr. Irrelevant pick, Raymond Smalley from DOU Productions goes with Regan Smith, 26th last year, 28th in 2010, 39th in 2009. So a trend line in the right direction. He was only in the top 20 average finish on two different track types last year, 18th on super speedways, 16th on the road courses. I mean, when you look at this, when you look at what a grab bag the fifth round is, it's one of these weird things through the course of this draft here, you know, that if you're picking in the early part of the second round, you're getting good value. You're getting good value at different places. In the fifth round, I mean, he's getting pretty good value here at the end, because there's not much to really say that our picks are that much better than his. There doesn't seem to be a lot to separate the guys on this last tier.
Yes, he's got Reagan Smith.
Yes.
There's my analysis.
Is that the extent of it?
Yes. And Bobby Labonte was drafted this round. David Gilliland. I mean, you know, you could just put them on ping pong balls and pull their names out. And if you really drafted any one of those guys,
mm-hmm.
you'd have to be, you know, at this juncture, okay.
Yeah. I mean, yet another driver for the proverbial it is what it is racing team. But, again, for anybody that didn't get drafted here, and I'll recap the teams here in a second before we wrap, but for anybody else that didn't get drafted, again, Danica Patrick is mostly going to be on the Nationwide Series this year, so she wasn't worth drafting. You know, we'll be seeing her at various points along the way at Daytona and a few other spots. But is there anybody else worth talking about here, Mike, for you know, drivers this year that could make an impact?
Not really. I mean, we've pretty much hit them all. But, you know, like last year, nobody saw Trevor Bayne coming.
That's true.
So there's always that chance that somebody from the Nationwide Series, notice I didn't say Bush this time, I said Nationwide, to come up and you know, grab a headline.
Could happen. As far as any of the other things with driving this year, I was doing a little bit of reading about this whole thing about carburetor-free cars this year as NASCAR jumps on this whole politically correct green bandwagon now. So are you hearing anything about any different – I mean, I know it's probably pretty early in the testing for the year and for people to get any kind of a read on this. Are you getting a sense of things being that much different this year with the cars not having carburetors?
No, not really. The only difference I've really heard people talking about is – they're trying to do with figure out what to do with the restrictor plates. And at Daytona, they even made the hole in the restrictor plates a little bigger to try to get away from this two-car pack. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what they found is what's getting people around the track a lot faster is running them by the two-by-two restrictor plates. And the only thing I'd like to do is, you know what, let's get rid of the restrictor plates. Let's let everybody race, and may the best team win.
Okay. So you don't, if it comes to that, then you don't fear that we're looking at anything similar to what we saw at IndyCar. The last time you and I sat down and were looking at what happened at Las Vegas, unfortunately, you and I were in agreement that that's a manifestly unsafe environment for running those cars there. You're not afraid that the restrictor plates, that if you ended up taking those out, that Talladega would be even worse than it is, and Daytona might become more unsafe.
Well, you wouldn't have those. You wouldn't have the big one. That I could tell you, because
okay.
you wouldn't have that pack racing.
Okay.
And you know, as far as last time I checked, they don't run restrictor plates at Atlanta, which is basically a super speedway.
Right.
So, and there really hasn't been the big one there, and yeah, they're reaching, you know, some very high, you know, miles per hour. But it's safe racing, so I have not been a big fan of the restrictor plate, and you know, Atlanta shows it, and the fact that they're even talking about boring the hole wider in the restrictor plate to get away from the 2x2 racing is telling me that maybe they're seeing that maybe we should just get rid of the restrictor plate.
Well, it's funny because another one of our NASCAR guys at FDH, Jeff Maslanich, I know. Years ago when Lil Lee was riding high at Daytona, and Jeff not being the biggest fan of his, and Jeff being a little bit of a cynic, he was always like, yeah, I'm sure he's getting the same restrictor plate from NASCAR that everybody else is. So that lends itself to real conspiracy theories also when you're giving out the restrictor plates.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you believe he was getting the same one as everybody else?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right.
Yes, I do.
All right. So we're deadlocked at 1-1 amongst.
Where are you at on this, Ricky?
I don't know nearly enough to have an opinion on that.
So you're pleading the fifth.
I am pleading the fifth on that one there, and that, that is something I do not have an opinion on. But both of you guys make a compelling case. Any other closing thoughts for the year for NASCAR? Things to look at either with the starter at Daytona later in the month with Speed Weeks and culminating in the Daytona 500 or anything beyond that? Anything that stems to mind?
No, I can't wait for Daytona. I can't wait for Speed Weeks. It's going to be a great year, and there's any one of more than a handful of drivers that can walk away with this championship, and I would not be surprised. And I think that's good for racing.
I think it is too. It's going to feel weird with it being later. Why is it later? I haven't gotten any sense of that it's not going to be on President's Day weekend this year, and the Daytona 500 is going to be February 26th this year. So what's up with that?
The only thing I can figure out is because the Super Bowl is in February, and they don't want to have any of their races or anything, you know, even try to compete with that.
Okay. All right, but I don't think the Super Bowl is any closer than it's been the last couple of years, so that's a weird kind of a dynamic there. But, yeah, there's a lot of different things to look for.
I mean, with all the Speed Week and all the testing, you know, that's big down in Daytona.
That's true.
So if they don't compete with that, you know, they start a week later, then you're able to have a lot more of the testing and, you know, the practice runs, and mm-hmm. then you have the 125s and the shootout.
Yep. Yep, it's a lot of different things crammed into those couple of weeks. Great atmosphere of excitement for all the fans down there.
Well, I would love to take you down there you would have such a good time if you wouldn't get arrested.
and with me, that's always the proviso. what better note to bring it around on than that? Mike, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll hope to catch up on the NASCAR stuff here during the season. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ricky.